And dearest friends, thank you very much for coming here to celebrate with me an award which is as much yours as it is mine. For without your dedication, your tireless efforts, and your prayers, this award would surely have gone to someone else. You made it possible by supporting me as your representative to the wider community to be chosen as Man of the Year of Chicago. This is indeed an honor to receive it among friends in the parish where I have served for 25 years. It is a great honor. And in reflecting upon what I would like to say,
how are you? What's happening here? What in the world is all this?
They're giving me a little blood, antibiotics. I'm glad you got my message. Thanks for coming. Have a seat.
What's wrong, Michael? Why did you pass out last night?
My blood sugar's low. I hadn't eaten breakfast.
But, Michael, they don't give blood and the antibiotics for low blood sugar.
Oh. Well, my blood count was a little low, too.
Why is that?
Well, that's what they're running all these tests to find out. I need to slow down. I've been working a little hard lately. So the doctor wants me to get some rest.
Stop lying to me, Michael, old full of it. They don't give blood and antibiotics to people who need a little rest, either.
Look, if you'd like to join the medical team...
The first thing I do is examine that macho head of yours. Why did you ask me to come anyway? It sounded urgent.
I just wanted to see you. Hey, how are my cubbies doing?
3-2, Giants. Bottom of the 7th when I came in. Okay, now you're holding back something.
How's Sandberg doing?
Oh, 0-3. What do you expect for 10 grand a pop? You're hiding something from me, Michael. I can tell.
Angie, we've known each other too long for me to do that. We've been close friends ever since you came to teach at St. Joseph's, and we discovered that we both love the Cubs.
Well, yes, and you've been trying the old hidden ball trick on me all that time. Remember how you pawned Lillian Dugunov on me? Here's a piece of paper, and you know what? It's an old thank you note I found from her.
Wasn't she the woman who had her husband cremated
And you conned me into helping her scatter his ashes?
Now, Angie, that's putting it a bit strong.
Not really, Michael. Not really. You said that cremation wasn't your thing, even after the bishop gave his permission, since there was no room in the Gate of Heaven Cemetery. Besides, you always seemed uncomfortable with funerals. It was like you weren't sure whether or not there really was a life after death.
Where did you get that idea?
Well, when you gave last rites, I thought you'd die first.
I see. Well, I told Lillian that I'd help her get Charlie in another Catholic cemetery, but she said she liked the duck pond at Gate of Heaven.
Yeah, but when you saw Lillian coming to the front door carrying Charlie in a can, you told the housekeeper to call me, and what did you do? You ducked out at the back door.
That's not quite the way I remember
it. Well, that's the way it happened. Lillian wanted you to bless Charlie's ashes and help her scatter them over the duck pond.
Why are we dwelling on this morbid subject? Let's turn the radio on and see how the Cubs are doing.
Turn off that radio, Michael. Let's turn it off. I'm still angry about you getting me to do your job while carrying on about women being too emotional to be priests.
Oh, Lord, have mercy.
Lillian came all dressed in black, and so I had to go in and put on my habit. And we walked to the knoll overlooking the Gate of Heaven duck pond. And there Lillian opened the can of Charlie. And she did. And as we prayed the Our Father, she scooped up handfuls of Charlie and threw him out over the duck pond. You know, when she was finished, she flung that can in a high arc, plop, right into the center of the pond, and she dried her tears, hugged me and said, "Here, that wasn't too bad, was it? That's just the way Charlie would have wanted it."
Well, the main thing was that Lillian was happy.
Sure.
Thanks for coming. You know, I appreciate you coming. You don't have to hang around. I'll be okay.
Okay, but when you feel like talking about what you're here for, I'll be happy to listen.
There is something else I wanted to say.
Yes?
This letter that I have here. Would you mail it for me? It's a letter to the bishop, asking him to relieve me of my holy orders.
To do what?
To relieve me of my orders. What do you think I'm talking about, resigning from the Democratic Party?
Why, for heaven's sake?
Because I've lost my faith. I don't know if there is a God. Or if there is, I'm not sure that I even care to bother with it.
You don't believe in God, Michael?
I'm a hypocrite, Angie. You're right about my being uncomfortable with funerals. Not only with funerals, but with most ceremonial things a priest does.
Then why did you even stay in?
Well, it's been a good life, except for religion. I like being a priest, and I'm good at it. Besides, it's not easy to walk away from a job that makes you man of the year.
Well, maybe you're burned out.
I'm afraid it's actually more than that, Ann. My quarrel with God runs deep. Who are they from?
Well, who would you believe? His Nibs, the mayor.
He just asked me to head up a task force on children. First time we've ever made kids a top priority.
You know what? You'll be back to do that job. Any word on the test?
Oh, actually, yeah. Seems I got a problem. I got aplastic anemia. I suspected it. My uncle and grandfather both had it, and they...
Michael, what's aplastic anemia?
The bone marrow just stops. Stops producing blood cells.
I'm sorry, Michael.
Oh, my. The timing couldn't be worse. I'm being benched just when I was hitting over 300.
It's a terrible shock, isn't it?
It isn't a day brightener.
But can they do anything for it?
Well, the semi-good news is that they're going to try a bone marrow transplant. It's chances. But first they have to find a donor who matches.
Well, tell them to test me.
Thanks, Dan. Maybe they should test all Cub fans.
Is your illness why you decided to write the bishop?
Yeah.
I don't understand why you want to do this.
It's basic honesty, don't you think?
Well, it may make you feel better, but it's going to distress a lot of people who love and trust you.
If they love and trust me, maybe they'll understand. I hate to think of spending my last days as a closet atheist.
Is that what you are, an atheist?
Well, not quite. I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. It takes more faith than I have to live with the idea that everything ends up as a can of Charlie. I'm chicken to face that prospect.
So you don't need a God except when it comes to a can of Charlie.
You certainly have a gift for putting things in their starkest form.
Well, am I right?
Yeah. I suppose you are.
I still don't know why you stayed in the priesthood, aside from getting elected man of the year.
Why do people stay in a bad marriage? Habit, fear of being alone, convenience.
But people who stay in bad marriages don't usually go around preaching about the joys of being married.
It's true. I'm a phony, Ann.
I hate to pile on, but how could you say mass and preach sermons and do all the other God things a priest has to do? It's hard enough if you believe, isn't it?
Yeah. At first I felt dishonest, but then I kept telling myself that as long as the people believed what I said, I wasn't hurting anyone, and maybe I was helping some who needed faith.
You should get the Academy Award.
I suppose. But the longer I did it, the easier it became. Like murder.
Sounds like an occupational hazard.
Yeah, I hid it for years. In fact, I'm amazed at how easy it is to get away with it.
No one ever questioned your beliefs?
No. I suppose they just took it for granted that I believed in God. But I no longer believed in the God that I was taught as a child, the God for whom even not a sparrow falls unnoticed. Maybe not a sparrow, but millions of people fall unnoticed. In my experience, God seemed totally indifferent to human suffering or to our prayers. I remember when I lost my theological virginity. It was back in 1965. I was a young priest, Dan Kolonsky, married Sharon Mulhaney. Both families were upset, an Irish girl marrying a Polish boy. He was 19, worked in a car wash, and he'd just been drafted into the Vietnam War. She was 18 and fried burgers at the White Castle. They couldn't afford a family wedding, so we passed the hat to them. And we have a 3-day honeymoon for them in the Wisconsin Dells before he shipped out. She gets pregnant, and the baby is expected after, about when he's going to come home. They're thrilled. She comes to Mass every day. And I said, special prayers for Dan's safe return. The baby was born. Mother and father eagerly look forward to being a family together. Dan was killed 2 days before he was supposed to come home. Then the doctors discovered that Danny, the little boy, had a bad valve in his tiny little heart and that it would be necessary to perform some risky operation. We all prayed for little Danny, just as we prayed for his father. In fact, I got everyone at St. Joseph's and all the parishes on the north side to pray. I figured the more people who prayed, the better little Danny's chances were. Dr. Caskey, one of the best surgeons in Chicago, donated his services. The birth defect was too much to repair. The baby died on the operating table. Young Father Sullivan wanted to give the homily at Danny's funeral. He tried to comfort Sharon by saying that baby Danny was taken because God needed him for one of his little angels in heaven. Father Sullivan should have a warning label on his forehead. This man's brain may be hazardous to your mental and spiritual health. Next Sunday, Sharon came to church, and we thanked God that Sunday for the safe return of Marge Henderson's husband, Bud, from Vietnam. I looked over at Sharon, and I saw her cringe. Later she asked me why her husband and why her child were both taken. I bit my lip in silence. What was I supposed to say? She asked again, and even though I'm not in sales, I'm in management, I gave her the company line. I know it's cruel. Double blow, Sharon. But God's ways are not our ways. Someday we'll understand, but for now we must trust Dan and little Danny are in God's care. I was sick to my stomach after this. God may have looked out for the Hendersons, but he sure blew it with the Kalansky. I wondered what was the matter. Did Bud have more clout? More people praying for him than Dan and Danny did? Was God the super politician who counted the votes before dispensing favors? What was the difference between God and the mayor of Chicago? The mayor thinks he's God, so maybe God thinks he's mayor. God has it made. If things go well, we all say masses, write checks. If things go sour, we don't understand God's way, we still say masses and write checks. I was plagued with the thought that it wasn't just little Danny. It's God's throwaway children around the world. In Brazil, men pick them off the streets and torture them for the sport of it. Who's finally responsible for a world where these babies are born only to suffer and die? Babies who will never have a moment of happiness, never a day at the zoo, never an ice cream cone, never a giggle, except the bad with the good. But there's never any good for them. Why let them be born if their only job on earth is to suffer and die? Maybe we go on teaching in the north side of Chicago our little songs to our well-fed kids. You know the song.
Oh, yeah. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
Yeah, sure he does. My problem wasn't my lack of belief. My problem was that I believed too much. I expected too much of God. Since God loves kids, I expected they shouldn't have to see their mothers raped and then before the whole family shot.
But Michael, maybe God's heart was the first to break when Dan and Danny, if we know when that...
Oh, so what good is that for? Then God's no better off than we are. Where is the evidence of God changing the course of human events, even things in our own personal lives? It seems to me that life goes on pretty much the same, with or without God.
Well, I can understand your wanting to be honest and wanting to come clean about what you do or do not believe, but there is something I just don't understand.
What's that?
How come you've spent so much time defending the church if you didn't believe in it?
I do believe in it. It's God I have a hard time swallowing.
Let me see if I get this straight. You don't believe in God, but you believe in the church. And you don't want women as priests in this church where God is optional, right?
Jesus, Mary, and Joseph! It would take me a lifetime to explain it to you.
While you're doing that, you might get some new arguments against women priests, Michael. I haven't heard any new ones about since that one about our menstrual cycles.
Well, some guys thought that might make a difference.
Oh, sure. Have they coordinated it with the church here?
Coordinated what?
Our menstrual cycles.
Oh.
Supposing the guys are right. If God can work with egotistical males, don't you suppose maybe God could work with emotional females?
But don't you think God made us different? I could never be a nun.
I don't argue that.
I mean, we men have certain strengths, and you women have other strengths.
Like what?
Well, let's see. You're more intuitive. You know, more sensitive about people's feelings. More spiritual.
Sure, and all of which would make us lousy priests, huh?
Oh, well, I should have known better than to think we could have a logical discussion on this matter.
Well, as long as God is a white male, we women can be kept in our place.
Give me a break, Anne.
But you don't see, Michael, it's all of one piece. Keeping women out of the priesthood and out of power depends upon the church maintaining its politically correct image of God.
You make it sound like it's some kind of grand conspiracy.
It's not very grand, Michael. It really isn't. It's the same old male dominance stuck together with holy glue.
What's wrong with different roles in the church?
Nothing, nothing. Except when all the power is in the hands of a few men. And you're getting to be fewer and fewer in case you hadn't noticed.
Oh, come on, Angie. The church is not a club with democratically elected leaders. It's the continuation of the priesthood begun by Jesus Christ, passed on to Peter. That's what the church teaches, and I can either accept it or get the hell out.
Oh, so that's it, huh? Jesus can't ever change his mind.
Not in order to please you feminists.
I thought we were talking theology, not feminism.
Maybe a silly, putty God would be more popular, but that's not the way it is.
But why does God have to be static or changeless? Is there something sacred about being stuck in concrete?
Even if God does change his mind, it's all moot if he's already cleared out of town.
So what are you going to do, Michael?
Clear out of town myself.
Okay, before you go, do me a favor.
What's that?
Let me hear your farewell sermon.
My what? My farewell sermon?
Yes, yes. What are you going to say to all those folks who've loved and trusted you? Go on, Michael. You need to try it out on the dog, as they say in showbiz. Come on, you just can't slip away in the night.
Brothers and sisters, I have not been an honest priest to you. I am sorry, but I have pretended to believe when I did not believe. I have tried to comfort you with words that did not comfort me. I alone am responsible for this pretense, for which I beg your forgiveness. The only good I can possibly see coming from this is that it may prove that the office of the priest is greater than the office holder. Hopefully, some of you will take a measure of comfort in this. I did not set out to fool you. I took the solemn vows of the priesthood seriously, and for most of my life, I was a faithful believer. But as the years went on, I could never square my experience of God with the church's teachings about God. But I continued to say Mass and to preach, hoping some of it would get through to me. But to no avail, my heart was like a mausoleum, and there seemed to be nothing I could do about it. Years ago, I don't know what happened. Why did you turn against me? What happened, Father? I tried hard to be a good son. I never meant to displease you. What did I do to make you so angry with me? Remember when I was trying out to be an Eagle Scout? You even helped me get my camping merit badge by sleeping outside with me. None of the other fathers did that for their sons. I was almost there. Only 6 merit badges to go, Dad. There was bird study. And you said on a Saturday morning we'd go out down to the pond and we'd see enough birds for 12 badges. I still don't know what I did to make you so angry, Dad. I wish I knew so I could tell you how sorry I am. You were driving me to school and I was late as usual. And you raced the car in first and second like you did when you were mad. Only this time you were going to break all the gears. Then you said it. You said something that I will never forget. If I live to be 100 years and forget my own name, I will always remember what you said, Dad. You looked at me and as though I didn't come from your own loins. And you said, you'll never be an Eagle Scout. You'll be an Eagle shit. God.
Should have let myself get sidetracked about my dad.
That was no sidetrack.
Huh?
God and your father get confused, don't they?
My father's a tyrant. God's a nobody, I'm afraid.
Maybe you have to keep God as a nobody so you won't think of him as a tyrant.
Thanks for your concern. But if I need a shrink, I'll get one.
Sure, and then if it gets too painful, you can always fire the shrink. The trouble is, Michael, you can't fire me.
Oh, boy, here we go again.
How much longer can you postpone this unfinished business with your father? What's the matter? You got something in the chair there with you?
I'm no good at couch talk. Never have.
We'd both rather talk about the Cubs, but you're about 50 years overdue in dealing with your father.
I deal with him in my own way.
How's that?
I'm trying to forget him.
Any luck?
He's not an easy guy to forget.
Well, Jesus said to turn the other cheek, not hide your head in the sand.
Yeah.
When's the last time you talked to him?
I think I called him on his birthday.
What happened?
2 years ago.
What happened then?
It was a disaster.
Huh?
He's blind. So apparently he didn't see my mother trying to put the phone in his hand, so he blurted out. He said, what does that parasite want now?
Then what did you do?
I hung up.
Have you talked to him since?
No. I talk with my mother frequently, but I've given up on asking to talk to my father.
Here, call him. Call your father and wish him a happy birthday. Okay, Michael, you can do years of therapy to get to this point, or you can take it and do it right now.
And what if he refuses to talk to me again?
Then it's his problem. You're doing this more for your sake than his.
Wait a minute here.
Michael, it's not something you have to think about. We don't think ourselves into new ways of feeling. We act ourselves into new ways of feeling. Here, just ask for long distance. He's an old man, and this may be the last happy birthday you can ever wish him.
It's a losing battle to keep. Maybe it is a losing battle to keep from hating his guts.
Colin, you can't afford to wake up one more morning trying to decide whether or not you hate his guts today. Take the leap of faith, call him for your sake, and you'll feel better.
Operator? Yeah, I'd like to make a person-to-person call to Michael O'Fuller Sr., St. Albans Retirement Center, Naples, Florida. Yeah, you have the number? Yeah, okay, call me back when you get him on the line. Thank you. There. I hope you're satisfied. Do you want to bet that he refuses to talk to me? He was a mean person when he was younger. He's not gotten much better in his old age. He has the temper of a nuclear bomb, and I always seem to be the one to set it off. My father's biggest blasts were in the morning on the way to school. I was usually running late, or the weather was cold, and he'd drive me to school. He'd also give me a piece of his mom. He'd yell at me as we drove along, "You dumb jackass! You'll never amount to anything. You're a loser who always runs late. You can pack your bag and get the hell out of the house anytime you want." But the rules were, I could never fight back. I was raised on the fact that there were two commandments. The one about honoring your father and mother as a child. And then when I was 16, the one about committing adultery.
Boy, a great way to start a school day, huh?
Yeah. I felt numb. Ashamed. Felt like an evil shit. I didn't want to talk with anyone. I'd hide in the boys' bathroom until the bell rang. When the teacher called on me, my mind was always somewhere else. I went through the whole day like that. My grades were so bad, I almost didn't graduate.
You must have been furious with him.
Yeah, but I could never let on to anyone, especially to myself. I felt totally stomped, but I could never tell anyone what was wrong. It must be my fault. Everyone thought he was a great father, including my mother, who'd tell me how much he loved me, and how when I was a baby he used to croon mighty like a rose.
My God, and he kicked you out of the house for no particular reason? What did you do?
I ran away twice.
Rather.
Thank you very much, operator. No, yeah, oh, okay. Yes, I'll call her back later. I won the bet. The operator said that he couldn't come to the phone now. My mother was too upset to talk.
I'm so sorry, Michael. I maybe pushed too hard. I was just hoping you'd find peace with your father.
Well, I guess it's all right that I tried.
But you know, I feel badly about your mother.
Well, the martyr role comes naturally to her.
She sounds like a nun. She took the vow of marriage, and then from then on she was married to marriage.
That's about it.
Maybe she wasn't in any position to fight your father. And as soon as he realized that, he could say anything he wanted to.
I almost wish that he drank or something. At least I could make excuses to myself, saying like the liquor was talking.
But maybe he learned his temper from his father.
I also think guys like this are playground bullies. He never grew up. They especially like to pick on women. Kids.
Were you afraid of him?
Sure. Once, I remember we were driving along the road and he floored the gas to the pedal on the Buick. Screamed down. I thought he'd gone crazy. He roared down the highway. I could see the speedometer getting close to 100 miles an hour. And all of it, my brothers and sisters and I, we crunched down in the back seat. We were certain that we would hit another car or smash into a tree.
God, that must have been awful.
My mother did something incredibly. It was like quick thinking. She snuggled up to my father, whispered something in his ear. He immediately slowed down and resumed a normal speed. And a little later, as we were driving down, my father said to her tenderly, "You never talked to me like that before." And then she took it all back by replying, "I felt like I was talking to a wild animal." Oh, my God, I thought he was going to hit the pedal again and go right on into the tree.
You know, Freud would say that you went into the priesthood looking for a father.
I could have looked in worse places. I found older priests who were surrogate fathers. Some better than others, of course.
Any of them take the place of your father?
No. I think that's a void that could never be filled.
Not even by God?
Not even by God.
Sounds grim.
You stop hoping. You stop believing. First in your father, then in God. If there is a God, we should be mad as hell about the way things are. You know, the poet Dylan Thomas, he said it right. Do not go gentle into that good night. Old age should burn and rave at the close of day. Rage, rage against the dying of the night.
So that's it. Just rage, rage?
That, and a few laughs along the way. You got any better suggestions?
Well, we can name and exorcise your demons. I can name them because they remind me of my own. And you know, Michael, you don't have to believe in God to believe in demons.
What? Hey, that's great news! Yes. Well, thank you very much. Well, that was the doctor. They found a donor.
Oh, Yeah, only...
Only what?
Luther Pastor, the lady.
Serves you right. Now what happens to an old jock like you when a woman has to say his height? I hope it doesn't cause you to question him.
You sure know how to hurt a guy.
Well, I'm overjoyed for you, really, Michael, and I'll never, ever remind you of your female bone marrow again. Where are you off to now?
Well, I have a meeting with the mayor. Then I'm having dinner with the bishop to see if I still have a job. If only I hadn't written clean
letters. You've had a change of heart?
Hey, things have changed, Dan. I'm back in the lineup. Maybe there is a manager in the ball club after all.
You mean you don't want the bishop to relieve you of your order?
It would be ungrateful of me to leave now,
after the way things have turned out.
But that stuff about being a closet atheist or whatever.
I said those things when I was feeling pretty low.
And what about that matter of forgiving your father? Is that on hold, too?
Let's talk about that later. Right now, I've got to do some explaining to the bishop. It's lucky we're friends. You can help me out. I wonder what your feelings and reaction will be. Hey, stay a friend for me.
Wait a minute.
What are you doing?
Just a minute.
I've got to go.
Well, can you hold up a second? I got something for you here.
What is it?
Better letter. Here's your letter. I never mailed it.
No kidding? Thanks a million! But how come you never mailed?
Well, actually, I forgot.
You're coming with it? Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thanks. Just listen, I have to go. Got it on his new special meeting on the task force on children. I think I told you about it. Soon as he heard I was getting out, he wanted to put it together.
You know, the fact that Chicago got along for 3 weeks without you must prove there is a God.
I can't thank you enough.
Catch you later.
Sure.
Is that sexist?
Well, I don't know. I don't know, but it pretty well sums up my feelings, too.
The doctor told me. I refused to believe her. I asked for a second opinion. Then a third. All of them said the same thing. They all said I had a brief remission. But now it looks like the bone marrow hasn't kicked in after all. But I'm going to beat this thing after all. Angie?
Yes, Michael?
Just in case something should happen someday, I want you to have, I want you to have my LeBaron convertible.
Oh, what?
That's if it suits you.
Suits me? But what's going on here, Michael? Is the finance company about to repossess it?
Do I look like the kind of guy who'd give a friend a car that's about to be repossessed? I made the final payment last month.
Thank you, Michael. More than I can say, but you're going to have plenty of time to sit down and tool around in that car and put the top down.
Well, in any case, I signed the title over to you, only I didn't date it. I change the oil now every 3,000 miles because I do a lot of city driving. The tires are in pretty good shape, and they have another 15,000 miles on it. And Hank at the Texaco station, he'll do a good job. He won't charge me an arm and a leg. Oh, I almost forgot. It's still got 30,000 miles on the factory warranty, but I find it helps to be on friendly terms with the manager. Oh, okay. Enough already. How did the Cubs do? What's going on?
They beat the Reds 6-2. Sandberg went 3-for-4 and drove in 3 runs.
Come easy.
You got me all tied up to a tube and everything.
Hello? Oh, no. Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes, I'll tell him to call her. Yes. Thank you for calling. That was the doctor, Michael. It's your father. He's dead.
God. What happened?
He had a heart attack right after dinner, and the doctor said that he died on the way to the hospital, and your mother was with him, and she wants you to call her when she gets back in about an hour.
You know, thank God you got me to call him, try to call him. I wonder what he would have said if we'd talked. I wonder if he ever would have realized how much his words hurt.
Maybe he did realize it, and maybe that's why he didn't want to come to the phone.
Maybe.
God, how I hated that old man!
I've hated his guts since I was a little boy, and he told me to pack my bags and get the hell out of the house for no good reason. I was afraid. I was afraid to get married and have kids of my own. Afraid I would treat them like he treated me and like his father treated them. Now I wish we could have one last talk.
Michael, if you could have one last talk with your father, what would you say to him?
I'd tell him it's too damn much work getting up every day hating his guts. I'd tell him that I've been dragged kicking and screaming to the conclusion that I have to forgive him, that I hope he forgives me, that by some amazing grace, I wish I could tell the old bastard that I love him.
Michael, I think your wish is the answer to your prayer. sleeping, Michael.
Did I say anything incriminating in my sleep?
Yeah, but I can't tell you.
Just what are you talking about?
You made a confession.
About what?
I told you. I can't tell anyone. I'm practicing to be a priest.
How much money did I leave the church?
Just a couple of lottery tickets.
You know, I thought for a moment that I was wrong, Anne.
I don't believe this. About what, Michael?
About God. I thought that maybe God does have a hand in what happens to us after all. You know, like that finding of that Lutheran pastor with the right bone marrow was maybe the work of God. Huh. But now I'm afraid I've been right all along. There's no super manager who signals every play from the dugout.
Or a big computer in the sky waiting for us to punch the right key.
You know, fundamentalists in every religion, they think that that's the way God operates. People eat that stuff up today, Ange.
Well, not just the fundamentalists, but everyone who wants a macho God, a winner, straight out of Sports Illustrated.
Hey, there are plenty of women out there that want a macho God.
You bet. You bet. We've been brainwashed for centuries by you male keepers of the hairy-chested God.
Oh, you never said what... You know, when I think about it, you never said what kind of a God you believe.
You never asked me.
How can you go on believing in God? What kind of God could possibly make sense out of this crazy world?
A struggling God. One who gets down and dirty and wrestles with us like the angel did with Jacob. What if the reporter who covered the Genesis story got it wrong? What if God isn't through with creation? And instead of it being the last day and God is resting, it's Friday afternoon and he's working to beat hell. Do you suppose, God, Michael, that God's the divine playwright who's trying out the play on a tank town called Earth?
Well, sounds like an in-service training for an apprenticeship.
Well, how about try vulnerable?
Okay. A vulnerable God who's in as bad shape as the rest of us. What good is that?
Well, maybe this not may be the kind of God we want, but it seems to be the God we're stuck with.
But what self-respecting God would suffer along with us?
One like Jesus?
But Jesus didn't just suffer. He founded a church which is still around after 2,000 years. What other institution can make that claim?
Well, he founded the church with more in mind than winning an endurance contest. I don't think Jesus is much into preserving the church as it is. That church is going to be dead in two generations, or three at least, in the most.
Now I know you are clinically nuts. The church has been here for 100 generations. The gates of hell will not prevail against it.
The gates of hell may not prevail against it, but the church will prevail against itself.
Oh, boy. Am I glad I've stayed around long enough to hear this. And just how will the church die?
The same way it's trying to survive today, but it's going down like the Titanic, Michael. With a few tired old men on the bridge shouting, "Keep the women off the bridge!" This is a man's job.
Very funny. So why the hell are you staying on a sinking ship?
Because it's the only thing in the water, Michael, and I can't swim.
Why don't you become a Lutheran? They have women clergy.
Well, Lutherans are busy organizing swimming races on the promenade deck and forming committees to study how to attract more paging passengers. You know, Michael, this isn't about integrating women on the bridge just before the ship goes down. This is about a radically different ship, beginning with a captain who's fighting to survive with us.
then we're all in trouble.
I know it's scary, but...
It's not only scary, it's ridiculous!
Ridiculous, maybe. But exciting, Michael!
I am too old and too tired for that kind of excitement. I wish the church would stay pretty much the same. But I know the church must change. Got to adapt to times.
But this is not about the church changing and adapting with the times. God knows the church has already adapted quite well to war, justice, and racism, and sexism, and treating God's creation as part of our throwaway culture.
I hope I can stick around long enough to see what they do to you, Angie. They'll either string you up or make you a saint. Or both. But you know, Angie, the church needs heretics like you. Dumbest thing we ever did was to throw you out.
Actually, you burned us at the stake.
Oh, geez. Mary's in Joseph! Tell me. With your God, is there life after death?
Yes. Yes, there surely is. But for God's sake, even more than for ours, God needs more time to try it out on the dog before getting it right.
If I get to heaven, and if there's someone in charge, I'll look the manager straight in the eye and say, "You must have been kidding. I just got a copy of my father's will in the mail. He owned a bat that Babe Ruth used in 1927, the year he hit 60 home runs for the Yankees. Dad always promised he'd leave it to me. He left it to an old golfing buddy."
Hurts bad, huh?
Yeah. I hoped he would remember. But it shouldn't have surprised me. I could always count on him to let me down.
You know, Michael, you still got some more forgiving to do.
Lighten up, will you?
I'm not sure you're ready for this.
Hey, nothing you could say could surprise me, Andy.
Okay. You need to forgive God.
Who?
God! You need to forgive God, Michael.
I take it back. You can surprise me. What in heaven's name are you talking about?
I'm talking about a God who needs your forgiveness.
Have you been sniffing the glue on the offering envelopes? And forgive God? Look, if I believed in God, it wouldn't be in a God that I had to forgive.
That's just the trouble, Michael. You want a perfect God.
Oh, boy. If God isn't perfect, how can he be God?
Unless we're talking about a different kind of God.
Yeah, you know, you're a rookie God.
Do you suppose God's trick is to appear like a rookie, Michael? Maybe this world is spring training and God's going through it with us. Maybe the hidden ball play is where God disguises strength as weakness.
It sounds to me like you're making excuses for God. I'm better off without a God than one who I've got to make excuses for. One who sooner or later will let me down.
Like your father?
Look, I forgave my father. Remember?
I know, but the pain's still there, isn't it?
How do you know? How do you know?
I can see it in your eyes, Michael.
You don't give up, do you?
You know, you'd think we were married for all the influence I ever have over you. I've got better things to do than try to penetrate that thick skull of yours.
Is there anyone there? What is it with you, God? Why do you enjoy putting us on? Hasn't the game gone on long enough? I understand less and less. I knew more about you when I was confirmed than I do now. How long do you plan on standing around idly by? Sharon was grief-stricken, helpless after losing her husband and baby. But she was too pious a Catholic to let herself be bitter and angry. As her priest, I'm bitter and angry for her. Is the pain of millions of Sharon, Dan's and Danny's worth it to us, to you? I know we bring most of the problems on ourselves. But why do you hand over your power to us? How do you feel knowing that all your children are doomed, spending the rest of their lives living with the bomb? In minutes we can destroy what you've taken thousands and thousands and billions of years to create. That we can do this any day or hour for as long as we live on the face of the earth. What kind of wimp are you to let us have power over you? How can we count on you any more than I can count on my father? When I call you, I get an answering machine. Leave a message after the chimes and have a nice day. That's about it, huh, God? That's about it. There's no way of knowing whether you're goofing off or what. And there's not a damn thing we can do about it. Job's wife told him to curse you and die. But he was too righteous for that. If you are a God, listen to me. I'm through being your evil shit. God damn you, God! Because I want to make it to you.
Me?
Yeah, you.
What brought this on?
Well, I don't know. What you said about God's heart being the first to break when Dan and baby died. I can't stay angry, God.
Yeah. I wonder what it must be like to be God. To feel every pain we feel multiplied, endlessly.
I suppose being an infinite God means suffering infinitely, without the relief of death.
You know, you said that your quarrel with God ran deep. Do you think maybe you could forgive God, Michael?
Why do we need to forgive God?
To keep him alive, to keep God alive, Michael.
Maybe. I don't know, maybe. You know, Angie, I've been thinking. Maybe we're equals in the church after all.
Never, Michael. There's got to be some place where men can feel more equal than women.
You know, I love you.
Oh, Michael, dear. I love you, too. But aren't you scared?
Scared about what?
Afraid of a scandal.
At our age, Angie, we need all the scandal we can get.
What are you doing?
I'm getting up to make my confession. Move over. Move over.
Bless me, Father, or sister, for I have sinned before heaven and before my brothers and sisters. I have tried to create a God in my own image. I have not been satisfied to serve God. I have tried to control God. I have wanted the joy of God without the suffering. I ask for your forgiveness, God, but I've been unwilling to forgive you until now. Have mercy, O God, upon me and upon my father, and grant us life everlasting. Amen.
Through the ministry of the church, may God give you pardon and peace.
Say the rest, Angie.
Now I absolve you from all your sins in the name of the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Holy Comforter.
Amen. You know, it's too bad that dying's the last thing we do, Angie. It could teach us a lot about living.
Well, we're all learning, Michael. Maybe even God.
Maybe even God, Angie.